Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, God bless you, saints. This is Evangelist Amos coming to you live from Manor Teacher Ministry tonight. I just thank God for you listening in. I want to get right into the Word, praise God. We're going to be teaching tonight on the book of Galatians, and we're going to go through chapter 1 through 5, but we're going to be skipping through chapters. We're not going to have time to go through verse by verse, but I do want to hit some major points in the book of Galatians that the Lord has been dealing with me about. Now, we're going to start in chapter 1, and I just want to ask the Lord to bless the message on tonight. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I give this Bible study unto you, Lord. I give myself unto you, Lord. I surrender my all. Father, I ask you to take the gift that you've given me, God, as I present it back to you, Lord. God, that you will let the anointing flow out of the gift that you have blessed me with, Lord. And, Father, that it would bring glory to your name. And, Father, that you would be glorified and that your kingdom would be built up, your people would be built up. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you, saints. We're coming to you out of the book of Galatians. I want to start in chapter 1, verse 11. And in chapter 1, verse 11, Paul says, "But I certify, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man." Praise God. He said, "The gospel that is preached of me is not after man." So as we were saying before, there are many gospels. The Bible talks, another scripture says, if anybody come to you bringing another gospel other than that which we have learned or which we have preached, not to even bid him Godspeed. So a lot of gospels or false doctrine, which is false teaching, are going forth in the body of Christ. But Jesus said, through Paul, he said, "I certify you, brethren, that the gospel that was preached of me is not after man." That means that there are some gospels that are preached that are after man or made up by man or glorify man or false doctrine, which do not preach the truth of Jesus Christ our Savior. So you have to be careful for the false gospel. But he said, this gospel that was preached unto you, that was preached of me, is not after man. He said, "For I neither received it of man," in verse 12, "neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." So we talked last week about the revelation that Peter had when, and back in the book of Matthew, I think around the 16th or the 18th, the 16th chapter, where he said, "Who do men say that I am?" And the disciples said, some say John the Baptist come back from the dead, some say Elias. But Jesus said, "But whom do you say that I am?" And the disciples, well, Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Amen. And Jesus' response to that, he said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." So we talked a little bit about the revelation knowledge and how the Holy Ghost works. And Jesus said, "I will send you a comforter who shall take of mine and show it unto you." This is the revelation knowledge that he was talking about. He started with Peter. He said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." He was talking about the revelation knowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Nothing else was he talking about. So when you look at it like that, when you look at it as the fact that it is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that the revelation knowledge of the fact that he is the Son of God is what the church is built on. This is what Paul is referring to here. He said, "I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." So he was talking about the gospel, amen, the revelation of Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about that some more because that's what the gospel is. If you're preaching anything other than Jesus Christ being the Son of God, as revealed to you by God, the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, if you're preaching any other gospel other than the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that has to be revealed to you by God, if you're preaching anything else, you're not preaching the true gospel. So here he says in verse 13, "For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, verse 16, he said, and I profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals, and mine own nation being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, now this is another key verse in verse 15 that I want us to concentrate on tonight. He said, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. So the gift of God, the Bible says the gift of God is without repentance. So you can be gifted, but you cannot be repentant. That means you cannot be saved. You can have the gift of God, and a lot of people that are not saved are making money because they're using their gift to make money to prosper them in this life, whether it be singing or preaching or motivational speaking. A lot of people that are motivational speakers are gifted by God to teach the word, but they're using that gift as a way to motivate people. The gift of encouragement or exhortation, that's also motivational speaking. All of these are supposed to be used within the body of Christ to uplift the name of Jesus. But people are using these gifts to build themselves up and to make a name for themselves and to make themselves famous, therefore making themselves wealthy and making themselves prosperous in this life. Nothing wrong with being prosperous, saint. Nothing wrong, saints. Nothing wrong with having a good time and making a lot of money. But you have to keep God first. Jesus said, if you put anything before me, you're not worthy to enter into the kingdom of God. So these are things that we have to base our faith on, and that's what we're talking about tonight. Paul says here, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. So even though Paul had persecuted the church, even though he was present at Stephen's death, who was the first martyr in the book of Acts, I think around the 7th chapter, Stephen was killed. Paul, the Bible says, his clothes were laid at the feet of a young man named Saul, who we later know as Saul on the road to Damascus got saved through the revelation of Jesus Christ. So here we see again, he said it's God separated him from his mother's womb. Even though he was called of God by grace, he had to come to the revelation of Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Before that, he persecuted the church, and he did all types of things that were abominations and were terrible crimes against God and God's people. But God forgave him because he said, in the fullness of time, he said, I was as one born out of time. Amen. So Paul knew that he was called from his mother's womb. And the same thing with you and I. We all are called from the moment that we take our first breath, when God allows us to breathe his precious air and allows us to be born into this earth realm. From that moment on, we are separated unto God. Now, whether we want to walk in obedience or whether we are raised in the knowledge of him or whether we know that he is the Son of God, that's a whole different thing. But we are called from our mother's womb. The Bible says he called me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. He separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. That's verse 15. Verse 16. Now Paul is saying that God called him by grace to reveal his son in me. Now this is what we were just talking about, the revelation of Jesus Christ being the Son of God. Now Paul is saying in order to be called to be a Christian, God has to reveal Jesus in you, and another scripture says the hope of glory. So Jesus has got to start to be revealed in you and in I in order for the work that God will have to be done in our lives to be manifested. For him to be glorified, he has to reveal his son in us. And that means our character has to change, our nature has to change, our desires have to change, our will has to change, and we have to become submissive to the will of God. And Paul said that it pleased God to reveal his son in him. We're in Galatians chapter 1, verse 16. He said the reason why Jesus Christ had to be revealed in him is that he might preach him among the heathen or among the unsaved. If Jesus Christ is not revealed in you, you cannot preach him to the heathen. You cannot be a witness, and that's what my pastor's talking about now. We're doing a series on being a witness. You cannot be a witness for Jesus Christ if he has never been revealed in you. Praise God. The Bible says, it pleased God to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathens. And preaching means to be a witness. Immediately, Paul says, I conferred not with flesh and blood. So when he was saved, when God saved him on the road to Damascus, he said, I did not confer with flesh and blood. Amen. He said, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them that were apostles before me. God had a different calling on Paul's life. Remember in the book of Acts chapter 8, where Jesus told him, he said, I must show him what great things he must suffer, amen, for the things that I have called for him to do. So Paul was sent to the Gentiles, not to the Jews. God did not allow him to go to Jerusalem where the other apostles were, but God sent him. He said, I spent 3 years. Look at this in verse 17. He said, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Now in verse 18, he says, then after 3 years. So he was there for 3 years, he said, before he went to Jerusalem to see Peter, and he stayed with him 15 days. So here again we see how God separated Paul and worked on him and revealed his son in him so that he could preach to the heathen. But he did it in his own way. He separated him from the other disciples so he would not, so because this was something new. This was being preached to the Gentiles was something totally new that the Jews did not even agree with, as we shall see. Paul and Peter had a lot of disagreement about the Jews and the Gentiles being equal. And the same thing is going on today, where people are saying, oh, you know, the Jews are God's chosen people, and we have to bless the Israelites, and God will bless us, or bless the Jews, and God will bless us. And my Bible says there's no difference between the Jew or the Gentile. So, I mean, which gospel are you going to believe? I choose to believe that all are equal in the eyes of God, that we believe and receive in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, whether we're Jew or Gentile. But the Bible says, of the apostles saw I none in verse 19, except James, the Lord's brother. Let me go back to my notes, because we do have to skip around a little bit. So he said, just to summarize, he said in verse 11 that he did not receive the gospel of man, neither was he taught it by man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 15, he said it pleased God, who separated him from his mother's womb and called him by his grace. And verse 16, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. And then he said, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Okay, let's go over to Galatians chapter 3, because there are some things I want to talk about in Galatians chapter 3. And we're going to start, amen, in chapter 3, we're going to start in the first verse. The Bible says, O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? See, there is a spirit of witchcraft in the church that will try to bind up God's people and keep them or keep us from obeying the truth that is in Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man shall come unto me except the Spirit of God draw him. So here we see in Galatians 3 and 1, he said, O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth. Or bewitched means to manipulate your mind, which we see a lot of that going on in the church, to deceive. There's a lot of deception going on in the church. There's a lot of mind control going on in the church with people misquoting scriptures, misusing scriptures, misappropriating scriptures. You know, like a lot of people would say the scripture that says, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm, as scripture to use when you're not supposed to come against anything that the leadership says in the church. Even if they are twisting the word of God, they don't want you to bring it to their attention. They don't want you to say anything. Some people have gotten kicked out of churches for even questioning the pastor on something that he said. This is, to me, a spirit of mind control and a spirit of manipulation. There is a lot of that going on in the church now. He said, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you? So they were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ being crucified. Verse 2, Paul said, this only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So here Paul is talking about the works of the law compared to the hearing of faith. He said that you receive the Spirit by the works of the law. Now look at the answer. In verse 3 he says, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? So they were saved by the Spirit of God. They were born again by the Spirit of God. They were called by the Spirit of God. They were working in the gifts of the Spirit. They were moving in the Spirit. And he said, have you become so foolish? He said, because having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? So here he's again comparing the Jews with the works of the law versus the Spirit of God. He said, have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain, in verse 4, we're in Galatians chapter 3. Verse 5, he said, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So we know the answer is by the hearing of faith. But he said, the person that's ministering to you, the Spirit of God, which is the minister, does he work miracles among you? Is he doing the miracles by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith? So here Paul keeps contrasting the works of the law versus the hearing of faith. And we're going to see why in just a moment. The Jews would take a lot of pride in the fact that Abraham was their father. So here Paul is going to break down Abraham to them. In verse 6, he said, even as Abraham believed God, not by works, he's saying, but by faith. Abraham believed God. That's what believed means. When you believe God, you're standing by the faith of God. You don't have to see it to believe it. Amen. There are some people like Doubting Thomas. If I don't see the nail print in his hand and the hole in his side, I'm not going to believe he rose from the dead. Amen. So Jesus does not want us to be like that. He says, you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall speak unto this mountain and command it, and it shall be moved from here to there. So here he says, Abraham believed God or had faith, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Verse 7, he said, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So here he's contrasting again the works of the law versus the faith of Father Abraham. He says in verse 8, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, talking about the Gentiles, you and I, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Verse 9, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So let's go back to my notes. We're talking about Galatians chapter 3, verse 2. He said, I learned this, the Spirit, by the works that you receive, the Spirit, by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. This only what I learned of you, having begun in the Spirit, are you made perfect by the works of the law? And he said, he that ministers to you the Spirit and work of miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith? He said, even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So this is the faith of Abraham that he's talking about in verse 6. He said, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. That's in verse 7. Okay, skipping down to verse 9, he says, so then they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So not only are you children of God or children of Abraham by faith, but in verse 9 he said, if you be of faith, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Because the Jews always said, well, the blessings of Abraham is only going to come on the Jews. But Jesus here and Paul is saying, so then they that are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So all it takes is faith, saints, in order to receive the blessings of Abraham. And we're going to talk about that one day, because it's going to take more than one Bible study to talk about the blessings of Abraham. Amen. So in verse 10 he said, for as many as are the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, and all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Amen. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith, or by his faith, another scripture says, or by faith in verse 11. And the Bible says in verse 12, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Now, you can't be any more plain than that. The blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, talking about us, you and I, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That was verse 14. So we see that Paul here is saying that Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That was verse 13. And then verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on you and I through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Okay, let's go over to chapter 5. Because it's some more points I want to bring out in Galatians. And we're going to start in Galatians chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 1. Okay, so in verse 1, the Bible says, stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So here Paul is talking about telling the Christians to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath set them free. Don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage, talking about the traditions of men that the Jews were telling people to do, different commandments, different traditions, different ordinances and things like that in the church. He said, don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Verse 2, he said, behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. So here again, he's breaking down the difference between the Jews and the Christians. Christ shall profit you nothing if you be circumcised. There's no blessing from Jesus Christ that comes from being circumcised, he's saying. And that was a big thing with the Jews, circumcision. Verse 3, he said, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Amen. So let me go back to my notes, because I'm going to make sure we hit on some points that I was looking at earlier. Verse 1, I said that, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath set you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Let's skip down to verse 16. And the Bible says, in verse 16, this I say, then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. So this is Paul talking. He's telling them to walk in the Spirit. The difference between the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit that we just talked about in chapters 3 was, he said, having begun in the Spirit, are you made perfect in the flesh? Well, here he's saying, walk in the Spirit. He said, because that's how your blessings are going to come, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, which we're going to talk about. He said, verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. So these are at war one with another, he's saying, and these are contrary to one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Your flesh is going to get you in big trouble if you don't control it, he said, by the Spirit of God. He said, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit lusteth against the flesh. These two are contrary to one to the other. So you cannot do the things that you want to do by nature. He said, but if you be led by the Spirit, in verse 18, you are not under the law. But the Spirit has no boundaries. Amen. The Bible says, now the works of the flesh are manifested, in verse 19. Some of the works of the flesh, these are not all inclusive, but these are some of the works of the flesh. The more important things that most people get caught up into is what he lists in verse 19 and on down. He said, the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these. And he tells you, adultery. A lot of people get caught up into adultery. That's number one. I mean, adultery is a big, quote-unquote, temptation through lusting. The Bible says there's three things in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh, that's wanting that person, coveting. The Bible says thou shalt not covet anything that is thy neighbor's. So a lot of people are coveting another man's wife or another woman's husband. That is sin. That's a work of the flesh. He said adultery. Also, it is a lust of the eyes, a lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes with adultery. fornication, uncleanliness, all, and let me just say this, if you want to write down all of these sins as we go through them, you can categorize them in one of the three categories that we just talked about, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, or the pride of life. Adultery and fornication, we already said what that falls under, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, all of this is going on in the body of Christ because we are the ones that's warring between the flesh and the spirit. Idolatry, witchcraft, so people are going to be doing witchcraft on people. Hatred, people are going to be hating on people. People make light of it now, but hatred is a work of the flesh. Variance, that means being difficult to deal with, always want to complain, always something is wrong, not being able to get along with anybody, that's variance. Emulations, trying to emulate somebody or idolate somebody, which we have a lot of TV shows now that talk about American Idol and things like that, where people are making idols out of people. Anytime you have a fan base, anytime you have a fan, you say you're a fan of someone or a star. This, the word star was created a long time ago by people that are not saved, and it just is worship of the stars, you know, in heaven. These people are stars to these people. Emulations, trying to be like somebody else, which God made us all individual. That's why we have our own fingerprints. Emulations, wrath, anger, strife, all, that's what goes back to arguing, works of the flesh, seditions, or being separated, being that's like being prejudiced as a sediction. It's like when you think you're better than somebody else because of your skin tone or because of your education, or you think you're better than somebody. That's sedition. It causes separation in the body of Christ. Heresies, which is false teaching, heretical teaching. Envyings, looking at somebody saying, I wish I had what they had. I wish I was her. You know, I envy her. That's a work of the flesh. Murders, drunkenness, revelings, talking about partying. A lot of people want to know, where does it say you shall not party? Well, reveling is partying in Galatians 5 and 21. Revelings and such like, the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So we've got to get delivered from each one of those work of the flesh that we just talked about. He said, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God if you are overcome of these things. Verse 22, he said, but the fruit of the Spirit, which is taught, he said fruit, he didn't say fruits. A lot of people bring that to my attention. He did just say fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, not fruits of the Spirit. But he did start naming several things. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith. All of this is a fruit of the Spirit, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's what I was talking about earlier when I said there is no law against the Spirit. Meekness and temperance. Verse 24, and they which are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So here we go again. We have to remember that. If you're crucifying your flesh, you have to crucify the affections and the lusts. If we live in the Spirit, in verse 29, let us also walk in the Spirit. How can you walk in the Spirit if you're not living in the Spirit? How can you live in the Spirit if you're not walking in the Spirit? Verse 29, he said, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk also in the Spirit. And verse 26, he said, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So here again, Paul is saying, don't be desirous of vainglory. The things that man seek after, Paul started off talking about, I didn't receive the revelation from man. Well, now he's talking about vainglory, which is something that man came up with to glorify himself. But he said, let us not be desirous of vainglory, let us not provoke one another, or let us not envy one another, because these are things that lead to things like murder and like strife and like sedition. So he said, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. Praise the Lord. So that wraps up my lesson for tonight, saints. I was kind of short. I think we only taught about I'm looking at it, 30 minutes, but praise God. I enjoyed talking to you. I'm glad we got a chance to fellowship. I will be back on Sunday night with a new message, so pray much for me. I have a testimony. God healed my eyes today. That's another testimony that I have. I mean, God is just doing some miraculous things. I have people praying for me, and I'm telling you the prayer works. People are standing by faith. Amen, in my circle. So God bless you. I love you with the love of the Lord, and I will see you on Sunday night. This is Evangelist Amos signing off from Manateacher Ministry. Good night.